Hello, Gassettes, and welcome to this A Chat With episode. I'll be your host, Duke, and joining me is the one and only Jake Barber, who is fresh from appearing on the main episode where we actually had some Rovers wins to discuss, which makes a lovely change. In this episode, we will have a chat about Jake's experience as being the Rovers vlogger back in the day, which saw him go from uploading his Rovers musings to YouTube to being poached by the club itself to provide vlogs for the Rovers YouTube channel. Jake, thanks for coming on once again. It's the same evening. You've just come off the back of the main episode where, like I said, we spoke about some wins. How nice was it to chat about those victories?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was really lovely to be here and have a good chit chat about it. So yeah, it was really, really good to have a good chat about it.
Yes, I mean, we've bumped into each other every now and then on the terraces, and it came off the back of your vlogs. I mean, you were quite a well-known face for many Gasheads. Probably one of the first vloggers we had. How did the vlogging thing come about?
I was always interested in media from a young age. I was always into how it all works and things like that. I started doing old YouTube things just for myself on the side when I was about 12, I think. So that's how it kind of bled into that. And so it was mainly like the conference season, it sort of started to take on. But I think just from an interest of media and sort of video production, that's how I got into it, really.
Yes, as we could tell by your appearance on the main episode tonight, you really know your onions and you're very passionate and you speak very well about all things Rovers, but I think what really struck me is when you've done your vlogs is your age. I mean, yeah. You were on the younger side when you started. How old were you when you started doing your vlogs?
When I started first time, so before anyone kind of really knew anything, knew who I was, but before people started to recognise me, I was probably like 13. But when I started vlogging in the conference season, I think I was about 15, 16. And then, I kind of carried on till I was just after I was 18, sort of that spell, if you like. But I was not even 20, and I'm 22 in a few weeks. But, yeah, I was a young lad at the time.
Yeah, so your proper formative years, I've got to think back to when I was that age following the Rovers. It's probably some of my favourite years following the Gas, because you're proper getting in to the football then, and dare I say, you're kind of becoming a man, the testosterone's kicking about, so you're getting involved with the chants and the aggro side of things. So having a vlog out there, and I don't think there was many other people doing it at the time. Were you aware of any other vloggers, or were you kind of the first?
There was a couple in non-league that I was aware of, and I do still keep an eye out for it now. But not really at the time. I know Dave, I think his name is Dave Brown, who does vlogs for Birmingham. I watched his, I still do now, from when I was younger. But at the time, there wasn't many, not that I knew of anyway. So it's a relatively new thing. Now it's incredibly popular. There's YouTubers that are like On The Road series, and it's, you know, it's turned into quite like ground hopping, but it's turned into a massive thing now. I'm not going to say I was one of the first ones, but I think more so in the Football League that people started to take notice. It makes me sound like I'm really big-headed, but you know, but I was one of, at the time, I was one of the first ones to do it, I think anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's fair to say you had a really strong following of viewers. I mean, myself included, it was something I've not seen before from a Rovers perspective, so I just loved seeing you on the terrace, and it would transport me back there. And I mean, actually, for me, I was at university, so I wasn't actually on the terraces. So it's so nice to see inside the ground and from an authentic fan's voice. So because you were doing the vlogs and being watched by a fair few Gasheads, you must have started getting like recognised at the games and that. Did you kind of build up a kind of community of people that you would chat to at games off the back of it?
Kind of. It was one of those where people would start to recognise me, and I still feel really shy, and I thought it's really sweet. And even now, maybe 3 years later, people still come up to me and talk about how much they enjoyed it, and I'll always be grateful for it, because there was times where I kind of thought, you know, maybe, you know, especially, you can't dictate how well a video is going to do about a certain game, because it's not something you plan. You don't plan how a game is going to turn out. You only see, the viewers only see what you see. So in terms of like a viewership thing, it wasn't in terms of, you know, a video and you got say 500 views, which is still a lot, but some would get 2,000 or 3,000. That wouldn't sort of affect me. But when people started to recognise me around the mem, I thought, this is nice. I mean, I want to put it out there. I never thought of myself as anything, impressive. Like, I mean, I didn't think I'm Johnny Big Bollocks. I'm better than you. Which I think after a period of time, I think people start to build up an image of you, which isn't exactly the case. And I think when you start to sense that, you kind of feel like, why do they think that of me? I'm not saying be a bit of a knob back, but you kind of you sort of build up a bit of a skin around yourself. And I think you. When people do give positive comments to yourself, do you think, oh, well, is that person being genuine or not? But anyone that said anything nice to me, I was so grateful for, you know, especially just, you know, being a kid in college at the time, really, sort of coming out of school. It was a nice thing to do while it lasted. I really liked it.
Yeah, so you're a kid at college, a teenage lad. Did you look at the comments you were getting online? Because obviously YouTube is a platform where anyone, whether they're anonymous, more often than not they are anonymous, or they could put their name to it, were you getting those sorts of comments and crucially were you reading them as well?
I wasn't. The more negative comments are really on Twitter, and that's not for me to say I'm a saint or anything like that. I've done a lot wrong. I'm not an angel by any means, but that was mainly where the bulk of the stuff was on Twitter, which is why I came off of that. No one really left kind of negative comments on the YouTube side of things. I would get a few, but I wouldn't get like hundreds. I'd probably get like 10 or 20, which is a lot of comments, but most of them were okay. You kind of notice more on the dislike ratio. But it was mainly on Twitter was the issue, and I think that's why a lot of people I speak to now who go to Rovers who've had a bit of stick down the years aren't on it or have come off it, because it is a nasty place, Twitter. While Twitter can be great for all the memes that are out there, and you know, especially after, you know, Man United ship 6 at home, it's a funny place to see. But it can also be a bad place, really. I did get a couple of comments at the grounds. Again, people would say to me, "Oh, you think you're something," which I never thought. I just thought I'm just a kid who vlogging as Rovers journeys, and you know, I'm not sure if I was, you know, quote allowed to do it at the time, because I know restrictions are a bit with what the Football League implements with filming. But I was just doing it because I enjoyed it. I didn't want to achieve anything out of it. People would just say to me, you should monetize your videos and things like that. I never wanted to do that, because the only, you know, the effort I was putting in was obviously piecing the videos together and going to the games, which ultimately that's what drove me. It was going to see the team I supported. You know, the video was secondary. Like, my first love was Rovers. If I could get a good video out of it, then it helps, but ultimately my love was Rovers, and that's what drove me to keep going.
Yeah, so you were doing it for the passion and getting those videos out there, and I mean, obviously people are more than free to say whether they like it or dislike it. That's by the by, really, but for people to kind of contact you directly or indirectly with negative stuff, was it just kind of negative stuff about the videos, or did some of it kind of go further than that?
Yeah, I did get a couple of a personal message. It wasn't loads, it probably count them on one hand, but you know, you would get a couple of people saying, oh, you're just a fat kid with you know, he just sits in his room all day, and which for a period I was, so I wasn't at college or anything like that. But yeah, sort of you start to ignore it for a while, but then my parents had split around that time. So when you're going through that at home, and then you see something like that, it just kind of makes you feel like it sort of makes you feel 10 times worse. And it might not have been in a malicious way, you know, like people interpret text completely different. You know, you can send a one-word message to someone, and that person could see it as you're being blunt as a pencil, or they might not think anything of it. So I think it kind of just depended on how I felt at that time. Again, like I said, I'm no angel, but you know, it did start to bother me again, which is why I came off of Twitter. But you know, and ultimately, for a while, I didn't go to any away games because that was where people would mainly recognise me, because there wasn't as many people there. They started to recognise me. So I think it was before, it was mainly the conference season, I started to do most away games. I think it was 17 that year and then like 18 the following year. But I think a couple of years after that, I'd only do about 3 or 4 a season, like say like the big ones, if you like Blackburn and so on, because it made me feel quite anxious that people maybe thought that way of me. And I never went out there to try and, you know, and to try and make myself look big or anything. I did it because I enjoyed it. Yeah.
So off the back of those like negative comments and the fact that people were recognising you and perhaps not treating you in the best way, that directly impacted your enjoyment of Rovers?
Yeah, it did, and it still makes me kind of, I don't know, kind of maybe grit my teeth even now a little bit sometimes. You know, not towards the club, but some of the fans as well. Sometimes like I might just stand on my own or sit on my own. I don't really want to be around. And if I'm honest with you, the comments only really started after I started doing vlogging for Rovers. It was kind of minimal up until that point. I was still on Twitter and whatever. But it was such a short period of time. But yeah, it's still, you know, it's only really what, 2-3 years, but I think it's made such an impact, but to me personally, and for all the negative things which were there, it's brought me so many positive things. Like I've done been on Radio Bristol a couple of times, this is the second time I've been on here, and in different times, so it's brought me so much so much good times. And you know, the people I stand with at the Rovers now, I started getting to know them before I did the vlogging, but now I see them on a regular basis. You know, it did bring out a lot of good. But like I said, when the vlogging for Rovers, I only did it constantly. I say constantly, I only consistently uploaded for about a year at that point.
Yeah.
And then from that point onwards, it kind of hit a rock from there. Like my channel growth was still there, but I think it kind of hindered me more than good. And I said, I'm always grateful for Rovers for asking me, but it kind of, I never did it to benefit myself. I just did it because they asked me to. And I thought, well, if I can help in a way, then I will. But I think what the club wanted and what I could actually do were two different things. And I think that's why it didn't quite work out.
Yes, yeah, so talk to me how that came about then. How long had you been vlogging before Rovers came and approached you?
It was only that season, really, constantly. Consistently, rather, that I've been doing it. So I was still quite green to it. I was still getting my head around it and so on. My editing was never anything special. It still isn't. Now I do little pieces of audio. They're never, you know, they're never that flash or anything. And I said that to Rovers. They contacted me towards the end of the promotion season in the conference. And they said, would you be interested in doing some vlogging for us? I said, sure. So I met up with the social media guy at the time. And we agreed on it from, I think it was from like the Chester game towards the end of that campaign. It didn't work out. So we said, well, I'll start fresh from next season. I said, that's absolutely fine. And just straight away, I just kind of felt that this isn't quite right. And I didn't want to be the guy to say to the club, like, this isn't working. Because to me, then I felt like I failed. Because if you've backed out of something, kind of, you in your mind, you think, well, I've made that decision. You know what I mean? I want someone to make that decision for me. I never watched the stuff that Rovers put together. So I'd film myself. I barely remember it, to be fair. It was like a little blot on it. I used to film myself just talking about games before the game, half time, and at the end, I think it was. And I just emailed those pieces to the guys at Rovers. They piece it together with their Sony Vegas or Adobe Premiere, whatever they had, to go with the highlights of the game. And so for the first game, it never worked out. Like, the dislike ratio and the comments Rovers were getting were quite bad. That's when I started to see Twitter was quite It's quite a negative place to be, and I thought this isn't what I really want to do. And I didn't want to say to Rovers, "I'm out." You know, it only lasted 6 months, but sort of, yeah, it wasn't particularly great.
Yes, I mean, perhaps this is the opportunity now. What, if anything, would you say to anyone who maybe would have left a negative comment, whether that was directly to you or maybe just what they perceived as a joke? Mm. I mean, what would you say to those people?
I can always, because like I said, we've all probably made a comment or two to something in our lives which we probably haven't thought about. So what I say is just maybe just think about it twice, and so on. You know, you can't change the past. It's happened. You know, you can't sit here thinking about it. You know, I wouldn't expect anyone to come up and, you know, say something to me after this. But, you know, I just think about it. And, you know, it's really difficult to say. It's difficult to say because you can't tell anyone how to think. You know, they're their own person. And you know, some people get enjoyment out of that. That's absolutely fine for them. You know, it might not be for other people. You know, and I don't want people to turn around and say, "Oh, you know, you're a snowflake. You've got to get on with it." But at the end of the day, you're a human being. At the end of the day, you could be 20 or 50. You know, you can receive a lot of. It might not be nasty, but it's just it can just feel in your mind, yeah, like it's constant. And it might only be a couple of weeks here and there after every video, say. But you're sitting there, you think, "Oh, I had this last week and the week before," and then people think I'm something I'm not. And I think had I not done stuff with Rovers, I might not have had it as much. Like I said, always be grateful for Rovers for asking me, 100%. And you know, it's part of the reason why I love the club, because they approached me to do some filming, and I always be grateful. If I could offer myself at the time more advice, and to probably, I say, up my video game a little bit, because it wasn't quite what they were looking for. And I kind of wish that Rovers would have... They told me, but not as much as in detail they wanted to, as what they wanted. I think they kind of wanted, like, what Dave Brown does at Birmingham, which I never did. Mm. And my mother feels that they only approached me for me to not do my own stuff. And if they wanted me to, I'd rather them just told me. People used to say to me that Rovers used to give me stuff. I never received anything from Rovers. I didn't want to receive anything from Rovers. It would have been nice to, but I wouldn't have asked on. It was Nick Higgs who was in charge at the time. I would have knocked on his door, go, "Oh, could you sort me out tickets for the next, you know,
sort us out a stadium, please."
Yeah,
Nick.
Sort us out. Yeah, I wouldn't have asked Nick any of that. I because I'm not that kind of guy. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, like sort of looking back on it, I wish I never done it for Rovers. Not in a bad way, because like I said, this has brought me so much. You know, in what, nearly 5 years now since I've stopped doing it. But it's one of those, it kind of makes me scratch my head still, thinking, why did I do it? You know, but yeah, it's sort of, I still think about it now, and you know, sometimes like the video with my dad about when Rovers got taken over, that always comes up.
Yeah, so how do you feel when that comes up? Because, I mean, that is a clip that gets shared a lot, and I'm not going to sit here and lie and say I've never shared that gif or commented about it. But, I mean, for yourself, that's you and your old man. That kind of pops up more often than not. How does that make you feel?
It doesn't bother me anymore, like in a bad way. When I still see it, I kind of like scratch behind and go, "Oh God." I think someone, I will admit, it did make me laugh. Someone edited a video of it with it was Trotter and Del Boy.
Okay, yeah.
Which did make me chuckle. And I think the only thing that bothers me is that, because it's my dad, I think. Mm. And I think since, you know, my dad's, you know, now he's nearly 5 years older, he's nearly 60, you know what I mean? He's not as young as he once was. To be fair, even though I don't see my dad a lot, I've never really asked him, "Do you regret saying that?" I've never asked him after all that time. And I'd like to know what he thinks of it.
Yeah.
Because he sees the stuff that's posted. He's on Facebook a lot, but probably too much. He's supposed to be working, I know. But yeah, I'd like to know what he thinks about it, because, you know, he does still sometimes get grief from City fans. And I was telling this off air, he was on holiday last year, and there was a couple of City fans, because he was in his Rover shirt, as we all probably do when we go abroad. We'd take our team's colours.
Yeah.
And they were just like, I know, just won't leave him alone. And there becomes it being a joke, and then it's like, okay, you might want to just go away now. Do you know what I mean? Because you don't want to get angry, because then that fuels their fire. Even though sometimes it's the only way to keep him quiet. But you want to be seen as the bigger man. You don't want to look weak, because that's such an old kind of way of looking at it. But I'd love to know what he thinks about it. You know. Because it's only the clip of him, I think,
yeah,
that's played. It's not me. And part of it, the thing that kind of gets me as well, is outside my house. So it's like, that's where I live. You know what I mean? I think, like, if that gets into the hands of whoever, you know what I mean?
So just listening to you speak, Jake, it strikes me how emotionally mature you are. I mean, you're 21?
Yeah, 22, now yeah, 22 in a couple of weeks. Yeah, 21, yeah.
So I'm thinking back to myself in my early 20s, and I don't feel like I had this emotional maturity. And massive props to you for coming on and speaking about, because it can't be easy. I mean, I've kind of spoke about struggles I've had in the past with kind of social media and stuff blowing up and getting loads of negative comments, whether they're jokey or not. Perhaps this is a difficult question to answer, but do you feel like that experience has matured you in a way?
In a way, yeah. You kind of learn to deal with it, and sometimes you do get the odd one here and there, and you just kind of like smile, grit your teeth, and move on with it. I don't get it on social media barely as much as I used to, because the only time I post anything video related is, like, you know, I do little previews and recaps after games, and that's it. It's on a much smaller platform than I used to do, in terms of like size of following and stuff, which I'm absolutely fine with. But I think it just kind of sticks with you, so you kind of learn. It's like learn from your mistakes, which might not actually be a mistake, but it's trying to learn from your past experiences and try not to get caught into that, because it kind of, that's it. It puts you down. You know, you have to look at everything. You have to look at yourself. You think, well, am I being a bit too much this way, or am I being too cocky in a way, or am I being too humble? You know, because people can expose kindness quite a lot.
Yeah,
and I think people say they're there for you, and then sometimes you offload everything, and then it gets too much for them. It's like, you know, he's running a circle, like. But yeah, it's kind of it shaped me now, and I'm relatively happy with things, if you like. Obviously, not going to the games is a real bummer, but yeah, it does shape you. It does shape you.
Yes, would you say now you attend the games and you don't do the vlogging on that scale? And it's perhaps died down a little bit. Has it died down
a
bit? Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Because I'm not there to be, say target. That's not the right word. I'm not there to, you know.
I think that's probably the correct term, to be honest, Jake. Yeah. If you don't mind me saying. Mm. So I mean, now it has settled down a bit. Do you kind of feel more enjoyment when you go to the games?
Yeah, definitely. Home games more so than away ones, because most of the time I do travel away games on my own. Home games I do enjoy a lot more. It's one of those. I was kind of just feeling all right with it again, and obviously the season, you know, last season was cut short. But last season, I think, was probably the first season I kind of felt more calm in a way, sort of not quite as anxious as I used to about going, because, you know, like I said, I was just doing something I enjoyed. I never intended to upset anyone. That's at least what I want to do. I don't want to upset anyone. You know what I mean? I'm not that in that nature. So, I'm pleased it's died down in a way that because when I used to see things and stuff, even now, if something annoys me, I tend to be quite blunt with things, or I can be not as talkative. So it used to affect me, like, at home. Like, if I said, 'cause I live with my mum, and I don't think my mum would like me saying this, but me and my mum now, we are quite close with certain things. It was kind of, it made me quite a bit sort of more like upset at home. I'd go around, I'd be putting the dishwasher away, and I'd be putting a plate or two in more heavy, and my mum would say, "Why are you like angry at things?" And it's just a comment on social media. But yeah, I'm at peace with it. You know, I'm past all that now.
Yeah, I mean that's really good to hear, Jake. I mean, with social media, I mean, it's still relatively in its infancy, and people are still figuring out how to kind of harness it for good and get rid of the negative aspects. I mean, the way I'd kind of describe it, when you're getting lots of comments, which I did at a very small period in my life, is that if there are lots of different voices on social media, it can seem really overwhelming. Because, yeah, like, say we're recording this at the Sportsman Pub tonight, there's only a certain amount of people in here, and if you took every person who was here and they were like commenting something abusive to you, and they were saying it in the pub, just imagine what that would be like. But that's what Twitter can be like at times.
Yeah. And the thing is, I'd rather someone tell me something. Always, if there's an issue with me, tell me to my face. But if you're going to tell me something on social media or on Twitter, like I said, I've been off Twitter for years now. But
is that probably one of the best decisions you've ever made? I've kind of denied with it. I get a lot of positive stuff out of Twitter. But did that feel like a really good move for you?
Yes. Yeah. Definitely. I think it was more like it was really weird. I wouldn't necessarily get negative sort of personal comments, if you like, but it would just be like little clips of something I'd say, or, you know, I might pull a funny face if someone would screen grab that. And I kind of think like, yeah, it's funny, but I thought, you must have a lot of time on your hands to go through something that's 10 minutes long or whatever and pick out that
what's going on in their life if that's what they're spending time on,
definitely. And sometimes like, I would sort of say something that would kind of like come to my head, sort of, which I think might be a bit amusing, but I never deep down think of it, you know. But like I said, social media, it's a wonderful thing. You know, we've all you contacted me through social media and things like that, and social media is great, but it's also really bad as well at the same time. But I think as time goes on, we'll all get there with it, and it'll be a nice medium to it. And like I said, some of these comments that people use, not even comments really, just little things here and now, I don't really know how to word it, but they might not have come across as in like a nasty way, but I might have taken it a certain way because of how I was feeling at that time. So I struggled a lot with college. I did okay at school, but I struggled with college. I was essentially put back a year from nothing to do with me. Due to like exam papers being too late, so they put me back a year essentially. And so that kind of, I'd be annoyed at that, and then I'd go back home, and then I'd see myself on Twitter being everywhere, and I thought, like, oh, fuck this, like, do you know what I mean? F this, like, I'm going for a walk, or, you know, I lost lots of weight in college. I used to walk everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, since I started driving, I've gained at least a stone, I think. But I think eventually social media will be okay, and I have no aspirations to go back onto Twitter, not because I don't want to be on there. I just don't need to be on there. You know, the only thing I look at on Twitter is Rover's thing, and I can just do that on a web browser, and I don't need the app for it. I don't need anything like that. So, yeah, like, whereas social media, you know, it does have its bad points, but there's plenty more good to bad. But sadly, the bad things, they can feel heavier than the good things.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, we kind of spoke about it at the start, but could you see the positive sides of it? Because, I mean, I only just watched it and was like, this is great. This was something I didn't have in my life. And like I said, I wasn't going to games, so watching it was good. Can you kind of take solace almost in the kind of good aspects of it as well?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, no, definitely. I enjoyed it. I really did. It was just putting it out there because,
I mean, it's quite a brave thing to do. Yeah, at the time, I mean, being 15, you probably didn't know what it could become.
Yeah.
Were you aware of what might lay ahead?
Not really. I think it helped that Rovers were in the conference, so there was less... Not that there was... I think it was probably more people viewing it in the conference than when in League Two. But I think more because it was non-league, and non-league it's weird anyway, has more viewing than sometimes the Football League does, because non-league is massive, whereas, you know, the Football League is only semi-old teams, you know, so there was more people on it. And some of the positive comments I had were so lovely. I think some people, like, they think I had a comment from someone saying that they were serving and they were watching my videos, which I thought was so amazing that my video reached that far.
Yeah.
And so, which I thought was so lovely. And some of the comments that I receive, they'll always stick with me. I mean, sometimes if I'm even having a bad day, I'll remember certain videos that I had good comments in. And I know a lot of the viewership came from the Facebook pages, because even now I share it there. So I might post a video up and barely anyone's viewed it. I put it on the Rovers Facebook pages, and I might have 100 views within about an hour, because people have seen it. So... it was lovely. It was really lovely. And I wouldn't... The only thing I'd change, like I said, is still went for Rovers. But, you know, I wouldn't change my own videos that I did for myself in any way, because I loved it.
Yeah, so would you, looking back now, so about 6 years on, would you have any advice now? If 15-year-old Jake Babu was here, what would you say to him?
Get a haircut. Get a haircut more. You know, look after your face a bit more. I don't have a face for video, but no, on a serious side, like, probably, I say, just maybe learn more about what you're doing, more so, and just be aware of what social media can be. Sometimes you don't know something until it's happened to you. You know, it was like a car crash. You know, I mean, I bumped into someone's car a couple of months ago. You know, you can't have someone who's never hit a car before tell you what it's like, because they've never done it. Weird way of looking at it, but, you know, you can't prepare yourself for that. You've just got to do it. And like I said, if I could look back on it now and probably just bear in mind how bad Twitter is. Twitter mainly, Facebook was okay. Twitter is, and I think maybe because mental state was okay. School was a pain. I got through school and just about. I got the grades I needed to. And in college was a pain, a real pain in the neck. So mentally I wasn't great. And then after all this with Rovers, it kind of just knocked it way down. So I think I just needed to just be more mentally sound, I think, in a way, and kind of be more prepared for... I know it's quite a deep thing to talk about, I know, but...
I mean, we're talking about a 15-year-old kid at this point, yeah, so to try and make yourself mentally sound for negative comments on Twitter, I mean, to be honest, Jake, you shouldn't be going through to be frank.
And on the flip side of that, people should say, well, you know... if you're young, maybe you shouldn't be doing it, which is true. But then I know there was people who were vlogging who were probably younger than me, like just visually. Do you know what I mean? You know, so, you know, should I probably done it at that age? Maybe not. But I said, hindsight's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, I think that the way to look at it is not whether you should be doing it, it's whether the people with those sorts of comments should be doing it. I mean, it's the world we sadly live in, but I think you coming on tonight to talk about this could go some way into maybe righting those wrongs, and maybe if someone is listening who has made one of those comments in the past, to hear how it has made you feel. Hopefully we can start to change things, hopefully.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, this is going to sound... I don't want people to think this is any... trying to cause any divide or anything, but I think as a man it's difficult to talk about things sometimes. And also one says, well, if I ever said anything to anyone that was probably a bit bit distasteful, I do apologise for that. But yeah, as a man it's difficult talking about it, because when you're young, you've got to, you look at it in a way as, right, okay, I'm having a bad day, is it just I'm having a bad day, or is this constantly having 3, 4, 5, 6 bad days in a row? And then you kind of think to yourself, well, maybe I'm not okay, because everyone has a bad day. We you know, we have a bad day at work or and whatever, and you kind of grit for it, you know, bad day at work, you get on with it. And then, you know, you go onto something, or you go onto social media, and then you see something else, and it just, like, oh, do you know what I mean? So I think biggest thing I can take away is, if you're feeling sad, just talk to someone. You know, even if they, you know, there's support groups out there, you know, there's plenty of charities to talk to. Just talk to someone. It, you know, if you're, put it this way, if you're going through more than just a bad day, then talk to someone. Even if you have had a bad day, it's always good to talk to someone.
I've got to say, Jake, I'm in absolute awe listening to you speak. Like I said, the emotional maturity you've got, and your very wise words, and your fantastic segue in, because we were talking before we came on about an initiative that I'm involved in and you're aware of and looking to get involved with as well, Talk Club Bristol Rovers, which is going to be a new talking group which is going to be held at the MEM. So if you wanted to come along, you can 100%. Do to get stuff off your chest, because you're so right in what you're saying. Men particularly are extremely bad about talking about the feelings and emotions in general. We're hoping that group is going to act as a catalyst to get men speaking. And I think you coming on tonight may help people get involved, because for someone, I hate to bring your age into it again, but the emotional maturity that you've shown is quite staggering, to be honest, Jake.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and I'm very grateful for you asking me on today. And it is, you know, I was nervous about coming on today. I thought, oh god, I'm better, you know, put on a decent-ish shirt and do my hair, and I had a bit of a trim on the beard the other day. And but once I got here and all of a sudden came in and we had a pizza, and I was good to just felt relaxed. It felt natural. It didn't feel difficult, if you know what I mean. So I'm very grateful for coming on today, and thank you for having me on. Hopefully I didn't bore you too much, or the listeners too much, but yeah, I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Mate, not at all. It was an absolute pleasure having you on, and myself and Kaz, who was on the main episode earlier, we're absolutely buzzing to see you. Only got fond memories of you, and I can speak for the vast majority of people who watch your videos or has had the pleasure of speaking to you in real life, like what a lovely, charming bloke you are. And yeah, massive props to you for coming on tonight, Jake.
Well, thank you, much appreciated. Thank you.
So that's been a chat with Jake Barber. Thanks again for coming on, Jake, and thanks for listening, Gasheads. If you want to help us out, you can leave us a review on iTunes, give us a follow on the social media channels. Jake's mentioned the pizza again. We're going to get that up on the socials to rate.
Mine was the best, all right?
I'm trying to avoid meat, and then I saw that pulled pork from Jake, and I was like, oh god, I'm half tempted here. But yeah, really lovely to see you, Jake, and all that leaves us to say is up the gas.
Up the gas.